Our gospel for this Sunday comes to us from the ninth chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, Rhonda picked the music. She didn't really pick the lessons. And so I picked this one. And so we share something as she ends. This is how I began. This was my ordination text. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Now, a friend of mine had this simple way in which he lived. He simply said, the first rule is to always leave people wanting more. It's a lovely concept, but it made him a terrible anesthesiologist. Now, as Rhonda retires, we might need to find things to keep her occupied. Randy's already talked to me about this, and one of my friends suggested that she can take a job down at the University of Arizona cleaning the mirrors that they put in the satellites. It's a job she can really see herself doing. Another friend of mine commented that the best thing I could give her as a retirement present, which I didn't get, is a neck brace. That way she never looks back. Yes, on this day we mark a retirement, we mark a change, we mark a new life, and yes, we mark the fact that above all else, not only is this is not just about a person, this is about a person's response to, we might say, the person in the Christian church. Pastor Dan, who 31 plus years ago asked her to temporarily step in until they found someone new, and then he left, and she was still here. Yeah, he sent this note, and there's going to be more, the full thing will be read later, but he pointed out something. He said, just simply said this, "Please remember this. In all you did, you embodied our gracious Lord Jesus who said, 'Let the children come to me.'" And they did. And they did. Why? Because 31 years ago, Rhonda was a highly experienced, highly trained, multiple certificated person in charge of the academy? No. Because she let the children come because she understood the one thing. The one thing Jesus taught us to do. Love one another. Love one another. That's how people will know you're my students, Jesus tells us. People will know you're my student if you have love for one another. In fact, I remember for a while there, we were going to say the tagline for the academy was, "Where children learn where they are loved." How often do we need that in our lives? To know that we are loved. In a world that wants to label and divide and deride and own and all these other things, how does that change anything to the positive? How do people grow if they're not nurtured? For we gather on this day because of someone who responded positively to that call, "Will you? Here I am." And for 31 plus years, she did. Even after I came, she still did. Being a Bears fan and with a Packers family, wow, that was almost too much. Again, love. But do you realize that even without a pastor coming up to you, or without the clouds parting and the shaft of light coming down, or anything else like that, each and every one of you is regularly called to respond? To respond to something that is happening? To respond to something you see? To respond to a need? And the question is, do you say, "Here I am"? Or, "Well, I sure hope someone takes care of that"? Do we realize that the critics are many, but the laborers are few? And so, how do we respond? Do we respond in love? Or do we join in with everything else and wonder why nothing changes? Do we have the willingness to be a student? And then out of that, do we have the willingness to dare to believe that we might have something to share? I was a teacher before, and I understand the fundamental basic underpinnings of a great deal of our society is our teachers. And the bravery it takes to deal with runny noses as much as it is to deal with raging hormones in middle school and everything else. To deal with little ones that are cute. As always. Right, Luca? But let the children come. That includes you. That includes you acknowledging the fact that you might have something to learn just as much as you have something to give. That you are as much in need of love as that other person. Which might explain why the greatest commandment was, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. To do to others as you would have them do to you. This is how people will know you are my student, if you have love for one another." And do we create this space? Do we listen? And are we willing to say, "Here I am. Send me"? With whatever you can do, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just. And to get you through it, rejoice in the Lord always. By everything in supplication, make your request known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who will remind you yet again that you are a beloved child of God no matter what, and you are loved. And you are blessed to be a blessing. So on this day when we might acknowledge a witness, I was thinking seriously about seeing if she'd give a witness talk. But for 31 years of teaching, she keeps telling me, "I don't like public speaking." So instead, I am. But may I remind us all of the ultimate witness, of the one who thought that our lives, our existence, this world was worth it. That you were worth it. This world was worth it. You were worth the life of the Son of God in love. And may you respond, learn from that, and be willing to share that in the world so that all of us children may know what it's like to be loved and we may all grow into a future with hope. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.